We think anything is possible. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Absolute Philosopher. We think anything is possible. Well, it's not. There are a lot of limitations in the world. There are a lot of things you can't do. There are a lot of things that will never take place and will never happen. And why is this that we say everything is possible, and then we say there are some things that are not possible? Well, people say, I'd like to be a millionaire. And then they say, but I don't have any money, and I'm broke, and I'm in debt, and I have problems. And then they wonder why they're not a millionaire. Now, can they ever be a millionaire? And the answer is no. So long as they say, I'm not a millionaire, they cannot be a millionaire. I say, well, some people say that, but they don't believe it. But they don't either say it either. Some people are very modest about their wealth, but nobody says that they're a millionaire or not a millionaire. If they're a millionaire, they're just very quiet and very peaceful about it. And if they're not a millionaire, they just live a happy, abundant life, whatever is the amount that they want. But why is it there are some things that we can't have? Well, because we put the cause in motion not to have it. Well, who in their right mind would ever put the cause in motion not to have perfect health and not to have happiness and not to have abundance and not to have every good thing that life could offer? Who in their right mind would ever do that? Well, any person who is not in their right mind. When you are not in your right mind, you are saying no to your good. When you're in your right mind, you're saying yes to your good. Now, this is the principle. This is the absolute philosophy. This is the absolute principle of the universe. To him who has is given, and to him who has not is taken away even the little bit he has. Now, that seems very unfair, but it's very real. It's very real because that's what life is all about. Life is all about how far down the rabbit hole are you going to go? How sincerely are you going to look into your philosophy? How sincerely are you going to live what you say you believe? How sincerely? And I guess, from my point of view, I work with students from all over the world, and most of the students I work with are tremendously tremendously respectful, that's the word. They're tremendously respectful, they're tremendously appreciative, and they listen to what I have to say, and then they cogitate on it and apply it many times. But the closer people are to me, the closer people are in my world, and they get to know me, that familiarity seems to breed a certain contempt. And when I say things, they don't follow it. When I say to them, stop. Stop talking right now. They don't listen. I say, shut up. And they don't listen. I say, if you don't be quiet, I have nothing to say to you. But I want to know. I said, be quiet. Listen. And they don't listen. Now, why is it they don't listen? Because they want to feel sorry for themselves. They want to have their limitation. They want to have the lack in their life, and that's their choice. Now, I've often said, and I mean it very sincerely, that when you think in a master consciousness, which we all do think in a master consciousness, if you think in a master consciousness, you do not work with anyone else and help them to accomplish anything. If a person is struggling, you don't help them to accomplish their good. If a person is dying, you don't help them to live. If a person is sick, you don't help them to get well. Because, as a master consciousness, you look at everyone in your world and you see them like you are, whole and perfect. So there's nobody out there who is trying to get rich or poor, who is trying to get sick or well, who's trying to have relationships or not. There's nobody out there. Everyone in your world, in my world, in the world that I live in, is my creation, and they are whatever my thoughts are. And if my thoughts, I want to be compassionate and be loving, then I'll say, oh, you poor dear, you poor thing, how sorry I am for you that you lost your loved one, or that you're sick, or you've got poverty with money. You know, if I have that compassion, then I am creating them continuing to have their experience. Now, if I want to be mean to them, and this really is mean to them, if I want to be mean to them, I will see them just like me, whole and perfect, with nothing to improve, nothing to gain, nothing to have, and then they're feeling sorry for themselves doesn't do any good, because I don't see it, I don't feel it, I don't pay attention to it. I ignore them. Oh, you're so cold, you're a cold fish, you know, you're a cold and unfeeling person. Why is it that a doctor, a brain surgeon, does not like to operate on his own family? Because he has an emotional tie to them, and he feels he has to be so careful that he doesn't touch the wrong nerve or do the wrong thing while he's doing this operation, and he's more worried about doing things wrong than he is doing things right, and thereby he's doing things wrong to those that he loves the most and who he wants to do the best for. But when a doctor, a brain surgeon, just one of these silly people who went to school and learned brain surgery, he knows all the rules. He gets in there, he opens up the brain, he does his work, and it's absolutely perfect. And he closes it up and has his nurses sewing it up and saying, okay, I'm all done. And they say, my goodness, you are something special. You are so fantastic. Well, what does he do? He knows how to drive a sports car. He doesn't have to learn while he's driving. He knows how to do brain surgery. That's what he studied. And he just applies it and does it. He has no doubt that he knows what he's doing. You understand? He has no doubt that he knows how to do the work that he chooses to do. Now, if you are playing the role of a master, if you're playing the role of a practitioner, if you're playing the role of a minister, or any of these silly games, then what are you going to do? Are you going to be a human minister, a human practitioner, or are you going to be a cold minister and a cold practitioner who just says, how are you today? You look, conversationally, you look wonderful, you look fantastic, and they're just covered with cancer. And you say, you look so healthy and so wonderful, it's so nice to see you. And, hey, what's wrong with this guy? He doesn't know the illusion, he doesn't know the facts. And then, when you continue that, if you really believe, if you're really a master, if you're really a person who stands for what you believe, you say to him, you look fantastic. You really do. Oh, really, do I look better? You just look so much better. And you know, you are fantastic. Your skin is so radiant, and your eyes are so glorious. They just bubble out what the master is bubbling out, you know. And within moments, and I mean moments or less, that individual radiates what you see in them of you. Many healings are done, and you can't call it healing, except returning to your original purity and integrity, but many healings are done. Many people have changed their mind from one minute to the next and had a healing experience. And I read an article today about a woman who was 78 and dying of cancer, and they gave up on her. And so her son was a researcher in alternate medicines and alternate things. And so he said, Mom, I'm going to try something on you. So he took her to a doctor and had the doctor give her an injection of pure vitamin C, an injection of it. And within 2 days, all of the cancer started falling away. Within a month, she was clean. Within a year, she was fabulous, you know, just top of the mark in every area of her being. And the doctor, who was ready to chop her apart and said, go home, you're too far gone, he saw her on the street and he said, I've got to take you in for x-rays and take a look at you. And he did, and there was nothing there to see. But you see, what did this son do? This son, instead of saying, Mom, you're whole and perfect, I see you that way, and be the master, he had to play his game. his game was working with alternative medicines, you know. And his game was working with reading about vitamin C, knowing what a grand and wonderful thing it is, but knowing intravenously the vitamin C was more effective and more powerful than orally. And so he had the amount given to his mother that was at the very height of what could be done, because, I mean, she was going to die. And pop, brought her right back in full health and full... Now, you say, well, why don't more doctors do that? Well, it's a little iffy. It's a little iffy. The doctors don't want to take responsibility for something they have. It hasn't been approved by all sources, you know. Now, what we do, what you and I do, is not approved by any sources. People think that we're crazy when we go into the hospital and say, you're whole and perfect. Just like the time Ellen went in the hospital for Ingeborg when she was in Italy and she was dying of typhoid? What was it?
Malaria.
Well, thank you all for helping me. I mean, you really are just a bowl full of knowledge. I appreciate it. So she was dying of malaria, and Ellen went in there and said, no way. And he said, Ingeborg, you're home perk, you're home perk. And you're home perk. And the doctor says, this is it. They wanted to call in the priest to do the last rites, even though she's not Catholic, but they wanted to call it in. And Ellen says, you can visit, but you can't do the last rites. No way, you know. And so within a week, Ellen, by speaking her word and speaking it loudly and speaking it to Ingeborg, and the whole hospital heard it because the doors are all open because their air conditioning system is by having doors being open. And out she came. Out she came, whole and perfect. Now, Ellen, if she had for 1 minute seen her with malaria, or marijuana, or whatever those other things are, for 1 minute she had seen her with any type of a misadventure, then that would have been true. But Ellen, the moment she heard that Ingeborg needed her blessings, she zipped over there. You were in Germany, weren't you, or Lugano?
Excellent.
Yeah.
Switzerland.
Yeah, that's nice. And so she zipped right over there and did her job. Now, she could have stayed in Switzerland and done it, but she didn't know that. She felt she had to come over and reassure Ingeborg, but Ingeborg was too far gone to be reassured. And so Ellen did her job and did it beautifully. And you see, she saw it. Now, this is just one of many illustrations that we have of these things. Now, what are you going to do? Are you going to be the cold, calculating business person who looks at something and says, this is the principle and I'm applying the principle? Or are you going to have the human attitude, the touch attitude, and feel so sorry for somebody? When I was working with Ibuve, I wasn't the human person caring about him. In fact, I talked to everybody else except him. And I went out in the hall and talked to different people and had good conversations with people. And it was just fantastic. But when I came in to see Ibuve, I saw him whole and perfect, contrary to what other worried minds were doing there. And how did he come out?
Fantastic.
Yeah, we see, this is the way it works. Now, are you ready to do that? Are you ready to take charge of who you are and see your world exactly like you are? Or is your world filled with illusion? Is your world filled with illusion? Now, in the movie tonight that you're going to see, this is
Enchanted.
You're going to see somebody ask the young prince, the comic book prince, who is very silly, but very, very, very nice. They're going to say to him, do you ever have a time when you don't like yourself? And he thought about it for a moment. He says, well, what's there not to like about me? You know? What's there not to like about me? Watch when it happens. And it's so significant, so beautifully done. And what's there not to like about a master consciousness? A master consciousness that looks at everything in its world and creates it as a beautiful, whole, fantastic being. Now, it's just a reflection of you. So if you see something in your world that's not harmonious with you, like when I appear to be arguing with Sylvia or something like that, and you get all uptight about it. And am I arguing with Sylvia, or am I trying to irritate you to press your buttons to see if I can shake your boats? And if I shake your boats, then what happens? You're silly. You're silly. You're here to live in paradise. You're not here to see me argue with somebody, are you? You're here to live in paradise. You're here to see everything and say, what's there not to like about Sylvia? What's there not to like about anything, you know? What's there not to like about me? You know? So, put this cause in motion for yourself and realize you're the only one who can do it. And you can do it right now. If anyone in your world, anybody, right now, if anybody in your world is in your mind and, quote, sick, take the quotation marks away and take the word S-I-C-K away and throw it out and replace it by W-E-L-L or perfect or something else like that. See them right now, right here, right this minute, whole and perfect, with their original purity and integrity right now. Right, whoever it may be. And then let it go. It's done. And if you ever hear from them, they may have such an exciting life that they don't get in contact with their old friends. But if you ever hear from them again, and they happen to coincidentally say, you know, on the 40th wedding anniversary of Seville, on the 11th of October 2008, at 7:35, 7:36 in the California time, something happened to me. I went boom, and I was a new person, and I don't know what happened because I don't remember what I was before. And of course, you don't remember it either. You'll say, "Well, do those booms happen to you very often?" No, but it's exciting, and I really don't know what it's all about. Mm-hmm. And how good that is. Never expect anyone you practitioner for, you treat for, that you speak your word for as an absolute philosopher, an absolute metaphysician, never expect any of them ever to tell you they're whole and perfect. Because you know it. And that's all you know. And that, my friends, is the truth. The whole truth. And nothing but the truth. I love you. I love you. I love you.